Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Black Belt Selling. I'm not sure if you guys can hear me right now. This is Stephanie here for Anna, and we are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Now, today, normally Mom does the intro. Every single week, we are here at 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, bringing you the skills, the passion, and the technique that you need to be successful in sales. Everything we learn to become black belt, we take that and we apply it to the profession of sales to show you how you can be more successful as well. See, black belts are champions at what they do. They're the best. They're the ones who spent years perfecting and honing their craft. Well, when you're a champion, as I like to remind people all the time, champions get paid, and they get paid well. So why wouldn't you? If you are in one of the few positions in the world where you can make as much or as little money as you want to make, why wouldn't you want to get paid well? And every week, that's what we're here teaching you how to do. This week, we're here to talk about humor. You see, one of the most important pieces of sales is that the people that you are selling to need to like you. If they don't like you, they won't buy from you. Like and trust. I remember very distinctly that there was one account that I was trying to close when I was working my corporate job. And I was trying so hard to close this account, and I couldn't get it to close. It was months and months of trying, never got results. Finally, I move on to another position within the company where I was overseeing all the accounts that came in. And within weeks of moving, this account came across my desk as a brand new account. This account I've been trying to close for months. And so I go to the sales rep, and I'm going, you know, how did you manage to pull this off? Because I was trying to close them forever. And he kind of tried to dodge me. And finally, after I pinned him down, not literally, but, you know, I pinned him down. I wouldn't let him leave the kitchen. He finally caved, and he said, you know, basically, Stephanie, they didn't trust you to take care of their account properly. They didn't think that you were going to be hard enough. They didn't think you were aggressive enough to market them. And it stuck with me because it's such a perfect example of how trust and rapport can make or break a deal. And one of the best ways we teach to build trust and rapport is humor. You know, if you can make somebody laugh, suddenly you're not such a bad guy or girl.
Or whatever you are. Can you hear me now?
Whatever you are. Yeah, Mom, I can hear you now. You are a little bit faint. I don't know if you can pull your mouth a little closer to the mic.
I can do a little better. There we go. Is that better?
That's better. Awesome. So, ladies and gentlemen, the other member of Black Belt Selling, Miss Anna Scheller, welcome to the call.
You know, it's rather funny that we're talking about humor, and I cannot desperately get on the call to talk about humor. So I thought, well, I could get stressed out, or I could enjoy the ride and use this as an example of how you can take a difficult, challenging situation, which sometimes sales can be, and turn it into something fun or funny. So,
yeah.
You know, building trust and rapport, that's probably one of the key pieces of humor that's really important. Plus, humor can be used to get points across to customers that other means are not as successful, because we will listen to an uncomfortable truth about ourselves in the context of humor as long as it's not directed at us. If we can relate to a story through humor, we can learn maybe an uncomfortable lesson and accept it more easily because of the vehicle of humor. Now, as always, I like to start with a quote, and Henry Ward Beecher says that a person without a sense of humor is like a wagon without springs. It's jolted by every pebble on the road. And haven't we met those kind of people? You know?
Yeah.
I like to tease your dad because he's not generally given to being funny. So when he cracks a joke or he has a good one-liner, I'll look at him and go, oh, my gosh, that sense of humor is dusted off again. And he'll laugh, and then he'll come up with another one-liner. And it's just like it's contagious. They just keep flowing and flowing. And, you know, before you know it, whatever was bugging him just let go. It's released. And we can have that same effect with our customers, too. You know, because laughter puts people at ease. Laughter is contagious. You know, I decided to look up on the internet. I know that laughter has a number of actual physical advantages. I don't know what's going on. There's a lot of noise. Are you driving, Steph?
Yeah, long story. My meeting ran over, so I am driving, but I'm almost off the freeway. I'll mute myself out while you share this one.
Okay, all right. We just want to give our very best to our audience, and I know you feel the same way. So I decided to look up things about the physiology of laughter, and if we have time, we will give you some great tips for incorporating more humor into your presentations and actually into your life, because this is all about living a good life. So first of all, I don't know if people are aware, but laughter actually increases respiratory activity and oxygen exchange, which, you know, that kind of makes sense, right? I mean, how many times have you laughed so hard at a joke that you were gasping for air because you were breathing faster and harder, and it was almost like you were running a marathon? You know, in conjunction with that, our heart rate goes up. The blood pressure goes up, but there's also a relaxation phase. So it's kind of like interval training. You know, get a good laugh, do some interval training. You might even be able to, put that on your journal for exercise or something. Although I'm supposing you have to do quite a bit of it. It increases levels of alertness and memory. It increases your immune system. The famous Norman Cousins, he beat cancer by getting humorous videos. Back then, they were the VHS and all of them, or they maybe have even been reel-to-reel. But he would watch those every night, and it was through humor that he was able to beat cancer. That's amazing. Our muscle system is stimulated and then relaxed, and that actually leads to relaxation, which is very, very interesting, because humor, the structure of humor is to take you to a point of tension. We're going to talk about the structure of humor. And that point of tension, then when everybody's laughing, it causes a relaxed response, which in turn leads to relaxation.
Yeah.
Now,
well, and, you know, I want to share, they've done a lot of research on this one, and I'm a big Malcolm Gladwell fan. I love his, how he works, how he thinks, and he was talking about humor. He was also talking about how it impacts the body. And there was one point in time, him and a friend were studying the different facial expressions, and so for hours at a time, they would make frown. You know, they'd be sitting in a room and they would, you know, frown, or they would make a face of distress, or they would do these, you know, these faces and get pictures of all of them so they could study them. And he said, you know, we noticed, because we would do, you know, one day we did all the happy, lighthearted faces, you know, laughter, fun, enjoyment, you know, all those. And we just had a blast doing it. We both felt better that day. We didn't really notice it, though, until we started doing all the sad faces and upset faces. And he was like, an hour in, we had to take a break because we were both feeling so sick, just physically feeling sick. Just
wow.
From making these faces, because it was triggering,
wow.
It was triggering the wrong kinds of hormones in their brain. And he said, you know, all of a sudden we realized, you know, when we were doing the happy faces, we both had a fabulous day. We had, I don't think he said fabulous, but, you know, we had an awesome day. when we made the sad faces, we had to stop. We actually physically got sick, and we had to stop. The humor makes a huge difference. And if you, you know, when you're on the phone making calls, people tell you all the time, one of the techniques people gave me, they gave me two techniques because they said, you got to remember to smile when you're on the phone making cold calls. And they said, two techniques. First one, you put Vaseline on your teeth. Well, if you put that, I don't know if any of you have ever tried the Beauty Queen tip, you put Vaseline on your, you do not want to close your lips. It feels weird. It feels gross.
I wouldn't.
Gross.
Not worry.
So it forces you to smile. And the other one they gave me was to put a mirror up where I could see myself. Put a mirror so I could see myself talking on the phone. They said, if you can start smiling on the phone, you'll enjoy it more. Well, what I didn't realize is smiling on the phone, one, yeah, I was enjoying myself more, but I just stopped running into all those negative, jerky people. And I didn't even notice it until someone pointed it out. Someone else was like, oh, yeah, I'm so tired of getting people on the phone, and they're all jerks. And I was like, you know, funny you mentioned that. It's been a long time since I've gotten a jerk on the phone. And they're like, well, just you wait.
Well, you know, and I mean, that goes to show that when you're happy and you have humor, that you're able not only to relax yourself, but you're able to relax your customer, which means they're also going to be more receptive to what you have to share with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you need to have the right ingredients for sales humor. And there is a structure to humor. There's a structure to humor, which isn't actually funny, come to think of it. But there's a structure. There's the setup.
No, I was just joking. I was just laughing along with that.
Oh, yeah. It's not funny. There is a structure to humor. So there's the setup and there's the punchline. Now, the thing that makes humor funny is that there's incongruity. So the first one, the first ingredient is that you have a setup and a punchline. The second ingredient is that there's incongruity, which you can find in one-liners. So the saying, time flies like an arrow, sets up one thought. But fruit flies like bananas, that's an incongruity because they don't go together, right? And that's why people go, that's so bad. But and then if they're not really enjoying it, you go, okay, well, what kind of fruit flies do you have on your bananas, or are they time flies? I mean, you can take the joke until you get a joke. You can build on it. And Bill Cosby, which I know he's of a damaged reputation right now, but in his heyday, he was very, very adept at adding lines to get the joke. So now the other thing is that there has to be a rhythm to humor. So one of the rhythms is what they call a triplet. I'm learning this stuff. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, this is too fun. But you set up two truths, and then you set up the punchline. So you can say something like, and I'm going to tell a story on Stephanie because it illustrates this quite well. Of course, she could probably tell a few on me. But in this situation, I was home with the kids, and I was very, very tired. And I walk into the bathroom where all the kids are playing, and this bathroom is tiny, and the kids are walking on the side of the bathtub like it's a tightrope. And, of course, the toilet's right there. It's dangerous. And I stood there, and I said, oh, my gosh, why don't you guys use your brains? Set up. I walk into the kitchen, and I get make preparations for lunch. And Stephanie walks out behind me. And as I'm starting to stir the water for the macaroni and cheese, Stephanie is standing next to me, and she looks up at me and she says, Mommy? And I go, yes. She goes, I'd use them if I knew what they were. The setup. So there were two truths. The bathroom, I head out to make lunch, frustrated. Those are two things that fall in mind. The punchline, Stephanie says, about not knowing how to use her brains, or wanting to, something about your brains. You have them. You just didn't know how to use them, I guess. Anyway, But that's the punchline, and it's incongruent. It's not in congruity with the other two, but it's the opposite, and it's funny. Makes it funny. Of course, I broke it down. It's not as funny now, but I'm just showing people how to use that. And then, of course, our best target, and this is part of one of the right ingredients for sales humor, is to be our target ourselves. Target ourselves. We don't want to target our customer. We don't want to make fun of our customer, but we want to make fun of ourselves. And, you know, Stephanie, you're really good at that. You're really good at that.
Oh, I love it. You know, it's easy. You want to, obviously, you never want to insult yourself. There's a fine line between having fun at your own expense, which tells people, you know, hey, look, I can laugh at myself. I'm okay with this. I'm not an uptight, you know, jerk. But there's a fine line between that and insulting yourself or tearing yourself down. You're not going to sit there and try to joke about how much of an idiot you are. You're not going to sit there and try to joke about how stupid you were or this. You know, that's completely different. But I'll come up on the stage and I'll let people know right off the bat, hey, guys, I just need to let you know, I've got 3 strikes against me, and I have barely even gotten on the stage. First of all, I'm a little OCD. Second of all, I'm a little ADD. So what this means for you guys is that I'm going to go into very big detail on something for a very short period of time. You guys have seen the movie Up, right? Remember the movie Up from a few years ago? Yeah, and I'm getting nods from the audience at this point. You guys remember there was a dog in that movie, and this dog had a talking collar. And every time this dog would be going on a train of thought, all of a sudden he'd get distracted. And if you wanted to distract the dog, all you had to yell was squirrel, and he would go freak out looking for the squirrel, right? So squirrel! And I point and I look off in a random direction and everybody laughs. And I say, you know, it's funny until you've lived it, and then everyone laughs even more. And I say, okay, so that's 1 strike, 2 strikes, now I got to tell you guys my 3rd strike. Here's the 3rd problem. I'm half Italian, so I talk fast. So, and at this point, everyone is just laughing their butts off because they're going, okay, this chick's going to get distracted talking about something in a lot of detail, and she's going to talk about it fast. So here's what I want you guys to do. If I'm going too fast, throw a tomato. I love tomatoes. I'll happily eat any tomatoes you guys throw up on the stage. You guys ready for this? And then they're like, at this point, they understand, hey, we're going to have a fun time. You know, and I don't have a problem doing that in person either. You know, but that's a cute little way to say, hey, you know, I might get distracted. If I do, it's okay. We're coming back to it. By the way, I may talk a little bit fast. If I do, it's okay. We'll come back to it. But it also lets the audience breathe.
Well, and that really is a good illustration of another element of humor, and it's exaggeration. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to take it past what's normal in order for people to really find the being funny in it. You know, mm-hmm. So sometimes sometimes if you're in a situation like that, and you can take a moment to point out something that you're doing and exaggerate it slightly. You want to exaggerate. Not too much. You don't want to take exaggeration to the point that it's not funny. And really the way you learn how to do this by practicing humor. So we are well past, my goodness, we've only got about 10 minutes left, Stephanie. But so let's move on. Of course, some of you know, Stephanie and I are now authors. Both of us have been on the Amazon bestsellers list. So very exciting for both of us. If you have questions about our books, just check us out. We will have those in our Facebook group, which, by the way, if you're not connected with us, please do go to facebook.com/groups/blackbeltselling. We share jokes. We share content, valuable information, and you can also stay on top of when we're broadcasting and what we're broadcasting about. So getting back to humor. There are 3 things you should never do when you're making jokes or using humor. Stephanie, what is 1 thing you never want to do when you're in a sales situation?
One thing you have to keep in mind is you are always representing your company. And you have to really consider how you want your company represented. And one recommendation we make is you never, ever use crude humor. It may get a laugh. It may be funny, but here's the thing. A lot of people are uncomfortable with it, or they have a certain level they're comfortable with, or they're not comfortable with it in a business situation. And mm-hmm. the problem with using crude humor is, because we may have some people on this line who are sitting here going, you know, I've used this joke and it's hilarious. People aren't going to tell you if they're insulted by that, unless they're really insulted. Most of the time, you'll just get someone who will be like, ah, and then later they're like, I can't believe you actually said that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to say, you may even be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can't believe I said that. Oh, that was terrible of me. And they'll brush it off, but they still got that in their head. It's not professional. It's not a great representation of your business. So never, 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 never use crude humor. Now, I already alluded to one of the other ones, but Mom, why don't you expound a little bit on this second rule of nevers for using humor in your audience, with your audience?
Well, we mentioned it earlier, and that is don't make fun of your client. Don't, don't talk about their big nose. Don't talk about the ratty kids. Or, you know, I have a kid that just never shuts up, just like yours. That might be funny. It might be funny, but it's certainly not appropriate. And, you know, the third thing you should never do is don't make jokes about sensitive subjects. Because things like it could be seen as racist. Again, it's not, you know, that might be funny for George Lopez or somebody on the Las Vegas Strip, but that's a whole different context. Pardon?
When you go see George Lopez, you're kind of expecting you're going to get some crude humor.
I guess that's part
exactly.
of going to see him. It's
right.
You expect to get made fun of. You expect to get pulled up on the stage and someone to make a joke about you. You go in there with that expectation. You don't go into a sales meeting expecting someone to make fun of your front desk for, you know, whatever reason.
Right, exactly. And again, you have to play with the concepts. You have to, you know, try them out on friends and family who love you and just ask
mm-hmm.
them to be totally honest, because the very last thing you need is someone, you know, you're working on a sale and you make an inappropriate joke and it's offensive and you've lost the sale just because of an inappropriate joke. Humor is powerful, but humor has to be used properly. You know, in order to, and you can't use humor throughout. I mean, I don't make jokes throughout a presentation because it's not a game. You know, we're not playing a game. We are being honest. But here are, we're getting down to the last, always more to talk about than we have time for.
Well, and I do want to explain just real quick, guys. There's always
sure.
two things that you steer away from, religion and politics.
Yeah.
Never make a joke about religion. Never make a joke about politics. I don't care who you are. You're likely to offend someone, and you just don't need that. I mean, they may even pretend to take it well, but you never make a joke about politics. Never make a joke about religion. It's just not worth it.
Exactly. So, excuse me, here are five top tips for the best use of humor. First is less is more. You know, it boils down to if you have to explain the joke, or if you give too much information, it's not a joke anymore. It's you talking too much or me talking too much. Maybe not you. I tend to talk too much. So you want to leave some room. You want to leave room for your client to start making their own conclusions and drawing their own pictures, so that when you deliver the punchline, it's like totally different than what they expect, and that it makes it even funnier. So
mm-hmm.
less is more.
Mm-hmm.
Edit your jokes. Pare them down. Pare down the number of words. Next, Stephanie, what's the next one?
You know, I always love using stories from your own life. You know, Ricky Gervais states that the real life is fascinating and exciting, and that is part of humor. It's part of life is funny. Look around you. What can you see? I mean, what can you find that's funny in life, in your life, when you're at the store? Use it. It's okay. Find something in your life that's funny and use it. You know, always practice it, right? So I've seen people who try and pull a story from their life. They didn't practice it before they got up on stage, and it just kind of fell flat. And then they go, oh, well, you had to be there to understand. No, not necessarily.
Well,
it just needed to be explained properly. So if you're going to use stories from your life, figure them out before you get up on stage. Coming up real fast on the end here, what's the next one, Mom?
Well, you need to make fun of your pain points. You need to make fun of your pain points. For example, when I share with people why on earth I even considered getting into sales training at all, I mean, even getting professional sales training, was because I was excited about being a landlady, didn't get a phone call for like 3 months until somebody said, have you thought about putting a sign in your yard? Oh, my God. I didn't have a – how do you rent a property without putting a sign in your yard? You know? So that was a pain point. I make fun of it. That's how desperately I needed sales training.
All right.
So think about your pain. Also, think about your fails and your firsts. The first time you made a huge mistake. The first time you did something. It's always awkward. And it can be funny. And you know why it's funny? Because the person in front of you did the same thing. And it's funny because they know that you did it, but they know that they did it too. It's funny.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, don't be afraid, you know, on this topic, you know, it's okay to talk about your fail, where you failed. It's okay. Talk about it in a funny way. Make it a learning experience. Don't just talk about your failures just for the sake of talking about your failures, but keep in mind that it makes you more relatable. I tell people all the time, I'm like, look, I got to tell you guys this story. Now, why do I have to tell you the story? Because it's true. This happened to me. You know, it's people laugh about that. And I've got this one story that I tell all the time, and I'll keep it real brief here, but I tell the story whenever I tell my goal, whenever I teach on goal setting. And it's the story of younger Stephanie and how I had a little red lunchbox. This little red lunchbox had Raggedy Ann on the cover. And every year I would go through, I'd set my goals, I'd write them out, I'd put them in the box, and then they would get lost under my bed. And then halfway through the year, Dad would come in, and I'd mimic Dad, you know, girls need to clean up your room. And I'd be cleaning my room, and I'd crawl under the bed, and I'd find this lunchbox, and I'd take it out, and I would love it. And everyone at this point is laughing because they can see little Stephanie pulling this little red Raggedy Ann lunchbox out from under the bed and bemoaning the fact that none of her goals for the year came true. It was a failure, but it's funny, and it's a learning experience. And so, you know, it sticks with people. It sticks with people because it was a failure, but I made it a learning experience. So I encourage you, use those points. Now, last one here, because we are, like, out of time here. Use one-liners. One-liners are fabulous. They're great for getting the audience, catching the audience off guard. You have a good little one-liner, you throw it in randomly into your talk, and then you pause. You wait for the audience to get it and laugh over it. And there's nothing wrong with pausing. So use the one-liners. Give the audience time to react, but throw them out there. Sly, quick little – you can even, like, glance at the audience out of the corner of your eyes to let them know it was a joke. It will be – it's a great way. Now, we're out of time here. So I want to thank you guys for joining us on the call this week. I want to thank you guys for checking us out every week, for joining us faithfully. Go ahead and grab your – scoot your way over to the Facebook group, www.facebook.com/groups. Join us in there. We'd love to have you there with us. In the meantime, come back again next week, 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, And until then, I'm Stephanie, here for Anna, and we are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Make it a great week.